Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 427. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you.
What's going on, dude?
It's a bit hot.
You've cracked a coldie. It's a sparkling water.
Sparkling water. I'm on the hard stuff.
With passion fruit. And I've got the lime one. A hint of natural flavour.
No sugar.
So we add extra sugar. We just have a teaspoon of it. You've been watching a fair bit of stuff, but I've said do not overdo yourself.
Okay.
Just do your normal amount and you can save the others up for next week.
One of them I'm not finished and I really want to finish before I suggest it. Mm. Not that I'm not going to suggest it, because I'm totally going to suggest it, and I'm really enjoying it already.
You just want, like...
I want to know what happens first before I say it, and then everybody goes, yeah, we've already seen that.
Oh, my gosh. Take a chill pill, dude. Yeah, I get you. That'll be fun. I've watched something that I started watching before... I don't know if it was before Christmas or, like, in January.
Really?
And then I was like, oh... I was watching that, so I've gone back and watched a bit more.
Is that like when I remembered I hadn't finished watching The Bear?
Yeah.
I was like, I've still got like a season or maybe half a season, half an episode. That's all I had left.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. In fact, I think there are still episodes of this one to go, so I'm not nowhere near as Stephanie as you are with that.
I don't think anybody. I'm still wearing shoes. Sorry.
So busy. So consumed with doing stuff. I don't know why we're talking about this.
I don't know.
Because we have to get into the
news.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Taylor Schilling, do you remember her?
Taylor Swift?
No, Taylor Schilling.
Taylor Schilling, no.
She was Piper, I think it was her name, in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
she's going to star in a new crime drama.
I saw her in something recently.
It wasn't called What the Dead Know, because she hasn't made it yet.
Hasn't made it yet. I mean, I might be able to see into the future.
Oh, maybe. Maybe you have seen it. Oh, okay, so you haven't seen it. So this is based on former New York City medical examiner Barbara Butcher's memoir, What the Dead Know. Mm. And it's about, like, this highly intelligent, like really into the details, death investigator called Ava. That's her. She's really good with dead bodies and
well, you'd hope so.
She's not really a big fan of people who are alive because they're annoying. So it's sort of about her and NYPD as they try and solve murder mysteries, I guess. It's all right.
Sounds like.
A little bit quirky, I think.
Kay Scarpetta.
Yeah.
Which is only a couple of weeks away from coming out.
Oof. Battle of the Blondes.
Okay, so I saw a little trailer for it.
And?
There is a character in there who, now I can't even remember what she said. She was talking to Scarpetta about something. And in my head I was like, that is what Scarpetta should look like, not Nicole Kidman. Yeah. And then I went, hang on. Don't quote me on this because I'm not 100%. I'm not even 3% sure of this. I think the cameo was the author.
Oh.
I think it was Cornwell.
That's so cool.
I think it was her.
Patty. She's not a Patty, is she?
Oh, my God.
She might be a Pat.
Pat.
She won't be a Patty.
Someone calls her Patty.
It was her
probably her brother to annoy her.
Yeah, because he knows.
She's like, I am Patricia.
So the secret lives of Mormon wives.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's difficult for me to say.
The secret lives of Mormon wives.
Have you watched that? You've watched it?
I watched the first season. And
Okay. Bored. But you know people love it, right?
People love it.
It's got 4,000 seasons? It doesn't at all. But I just want to let you know it's coming back next month.
Yeah.
And a whole heap of the cast are now executive producers. Do you want me to say the first names as if that will help anybody?
I know one.
Jen, Jesse, Taylor, Miranda, Whitney, Michaela, Macy, Taylor.
Okay, I think I know two.
Okay, they're all executive producers one now for season four. Is
Jen Affleck, who she Jen says Affleck. There's a connection to Ben Affleck.
Oh, okay.
And the other one I know is Whitney Levitt, I think her name is. And she did Dancing with the Stars maybe the end of last year and has just done or is currently doing a sold-out season of Chicago on Broadway.
There was a busy person in that show.
Her season on Broadway has just been extended into possibly April. I mean, you've got to be pretty good to...
And all that jazz. Yeah. Okay, well, the first couple of seasons of this show... It was nominated for Emmys. It got it was nominated for Outstanding Unstructured Reality Program. Unstructured. but then it lost out to Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, congratulations to them. They'll get more money. It's kind of the equivalent
of business for them, I think.
Sarah Jessica Parker being executive producer in Sex and the City.
Yeah. I think at some stage you've got to step up and go, I'm going to take a bit of control and a bit more funds.
Yes, please. I will have extra money. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Planned sequel to the 90s action movie Face Off doesn't have a director anymore.
Did he lose his face?
Lost face and ran away. So his name was Adam Wingard, and he was going to write and direct it, except I mistyped direct and it says detect.
I will find it one day.
But last summer he was like, nah. And they were okay, all right. Now this is the wording for what it is, and you tell me what you think it is because I think we're going to think the same thing. This is from, I think it's Hollywood Reporter. Face Off 2 is now an open assignment at the studio with other filmmakers pitching their own visions for the follow-up to the original 1997 cult favourite. That means, hey, we don't even have an idea for the story.
No, can you come to us with an idea?
An idea and promise to make it all for us.
I think it's going to get dropped completely. Because really, is that really what people want to see?
Are we all hanging out for John Travolta and Nicolas Cage to come back and swap faces again?
Well, I mean, both of them have had their faces done a bit.
A little bit of...
Just a little bit. So
that's a snip. Snip, snip. Clip, clip.
I just don't know that people are going to be interested.
I don't think anybody should hold their breath because back in 2019 there was talk about a sequel, then again in 2021. So.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
The studio has it open. They're just like, yeah, it's on the books, not the money books, just like in our directory.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and again we'll just float it to new directors.
Mm.
And if they say yes, great. If they say no, just put it back in the folder.
Doesn't matter. We'll just put it back. There are three options that I've come up with if you're a fan.
Okay.
Sit and wait. Rewatch the original.
Yeah.
Or, and this is the idea I've got. You write your own fanfic.
I was just about to say that.
Because how many fanfics, that we know of, just two off the top of our head, became massive, massive runaway successes off their own bat? Yeah.
I think it's time someone steps up and writes it.
Okay. I'm not going to do that.
No, I mean either.
Okay, all right.
I'm not confident that I've seen the first one. I think maybe it's so long ago.
Watched it on a bus about six times and it wasn't my choice.
No, because that's back when airplanes, you had to have the little screen in the aisle.
Everybody was like, what
movie did you watch? Because there was only one option.
I don't want to be a part of it. So if it does get made, I am hoping it's a fanfic that gets made, and then I hope that everybody who wants to see it enjoys it.
Yeah.
And now it's time for some...
Watching suggestion.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Do you want to go first? I can't remember what we're up
first.
To.
I really want to go first. Okay. I watched before I tell you what I watched, I just want to get your memories on something.
Okay. Okay.
If I said ANTM, America's Next Top Model,
did you watch that?
What do you remember from it?
You won a house.
Oh, yeah.
Adrian Curry.
Yeah.
Smile with your eyes.
Smize. Mm.
And every time they were like, we're going to give you a new haircut, someone cries because they cut their hair short.
Yeah, because they make them look awful.
Yeah, on purpose.
So I watched Netflix doco about America's Next Top Model.
Mm.
It's from their reality check series.
I really want to see this.
It is one of the most uncomfortable documentaries to watch because everything they say, you go, yeah, it was really like on the nose. Oh. It was, and I remember watching it going, yeah, I didn't like the things they did were mean. They were so mean.
And then the things that they would say to justify the fact that they were being mean was, well, this is what happens in the industry.
In the industry, exactly. But what's so good about this documentary is, and for anybody who's not kept up with the gossip of the 20-odd seasons that they've done, because I don't know when we bowed out, but we bowed out.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, watching it, I did remember a lot of the models. Like their faces were so familiar to me. However, somewhere along the way, and earlier than you'd think it would have happened, there was a big rift between Tyra, Mr. J, and Ms. J. Do you remember Mr. J was her makeup artist? Mr. J had the
silver hair.
Silver hair, and he was like the creative director of the shoots and things like that. And Ms. J was the catwalk, the walking coach, who had known Tyra since she was 17.
Yeah.
So there was a huge riff.
I didn't know that.
Huge riff that happened.
Wow.
Mr. J, quite early on, realized he didn't want to be a part of this anymore. He was like, I was being made to do things and
shoot. Does he still have silver hair?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Does he? No, I think he does. I think he does.
Maybe it's just gone grey.
Possibly. A bit cheaper. He realized quite early on, he was like, these shoots that you're asking me to set up are so bad that I'm uncomfortable being a part of it. So he tried to resign from the show and sent Tyra an email saying, like, you know, I've learned so much from you, blah, 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 blah. He got an email back weeks later from her just saying, I am disappointed. And then he was made to sign on for the next cycle, they don't call it a series or a season, the next cycle. She would not speak to him unless it was on camera where she was pretending that they were the best of friends again. And he was like, this is just nuts. I think it was the turning point for him was the blackface shoot where they had to switch races. And he's like, this is
so dumb.
So wrong. So wrong. And then he started to realize, you know, he was supposed to be the creative director. He looked at all the shots and he was supposed to give the best shot for each girl. Then he realized they started saying, you know, we don't really have enough choice. Can you give us three? Oh, can you actually just give us all of them? And then they would purposely choose the worst ones to suit their narrative. And I mean, for what we know of reality television now,
it makes sense.
We
now
know that it's produced. But this was not, I don't know, it was not like Housewives. I think you go in knowing it's going to be produced because it's a narrative, right? These girls were told, we're teaching
next
you
top model.
To be a next top model. You're going to win prizes. You're going to get a contract.
Going to be in the industry.
Yeah, girls who got the contracts, in inverted commas, were never sent out by those modeling agencies for calls.
For anything.
For anything. Because they actually didn't want them to be known to be under that brand. They just had the brand to be part of the show. When I say it's uncomfortable, every story that came out of it was so cringe and so, like, it builds to horrific. There were instances of sexual assault on there that they filmed and aired and then produced to make it be like the girl had cheated on her boyfriend and that's why she was so upset. Oh,
that was the Shandy, runner-up of Ioana House.
Yeah. And so she had drunk too much. Camera crew, you think, there's a camera operator, sound operator, producers, possibly a director on set. Nobody stopped anything. They filmed the whole thing. She was blacked out. And then they film it all. Not only film it all, they air it all. And then they make her say that she was upset because she had cheated. And you're like, this is just the worst of the worst, the worst. It has been, maybe for you, but it has been like blowing up my social feed of just lots of ex-contestants just coming out and being like, it was the most horrific, awful thing ever. Adrienne Curry is not being quiet about it, and no, it's great to listen to her. The girl who got screamed at by Tyra about, I have never screamed at a girl like this.
I remember that.
But my mother screams girl, like.
But I remember her face. Yeah. I'm sure if I saw it.
Apparently how that scene, which was pretty bad watching it as a viewer, was even worse in real life. And Mr. J is like, I will never repeat the things that were screamed at that girl.
Okay. I got some questions.
Okay.
Tyra, no part of it.
Oh, no. Okay. Tyra is a part of it. Apparently a last-minute addition. She comes in this trench coat.
Is she holding her hot ice cream or whatever she calls it?
She's like, I live in Australia now.
Oh, okay.
She spends the entire documentary speaking to the camera, you know, in that really patronizing way that she would speak to the contestants. She spends the entire documentary speaking like that, continually gaslighting everybody on the show, essentially lying to the documentary, because in one breath she's like, yep, me and Ken Mock, we had full producer rights. We like did everything. We knew what was going on. And in the next breath she was like, can't really talk about that because I had nothing to do with production. I didn't have anything to do with the storyline. Like,
Okay, question number two. Oh, side note. Adrienne Curry, I have actually seen a bit of recently, yeah, because she's married to a guy who does a lot of voiceover.
Okay.
But he started his career as like a YouTube Twitch guy.
Mm.
So occasionally he goes on to Twitch and just streams a video game. Yeah. And she'll either be in the chat or come onto the screen as well. Like they'll make pizzas on screen and cakes. She's really funny.
She's really funny.
They live like, I want to say, the middle of the woods in Montana, that kind of place. Yeah. Like she is not anywhere near where.
Nothing about fashion.
Yeah.
She admits herself she should not have won. She just had the best sob story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, so Tyra's in there.
What about the guy? Do you remember there was like an English guy?
Nigel Barker, he's in there. He always seemed to me as the most honest, I don't know, down to earth, kind of, he knew how to sort of ease both sides. He's still doing that. He's very much on the Mr. J, Miss J side, hasn't spoken to Tyra. Tyra is an island on her own that people are not having a piece of anymore.
Incredible.
I'm really surprised she did this because she will be so close to being cancelled. But I reckon the reason why she's done it is she's trying to get it to come back for cycle 25.
Oh, my God. Because
it's been 20 or 25 years.
Oh, my God.
So I think she's using it. She's a total business brain.
Yeah, right.
You know, I will walk over anybody if you're going to get in the way of my show. So I don't know how she'd be handling this documentary because it does not put her in a good light. It doesn't put the show in a good light at all. Great documentary, but very uncomfortable to watch.
Well, I watched something similarly uncomfortable. Can't remember where I saw it. I think it was on Prime. No, it was SBS On Demand, I think. It was called Clock Watchers. And it was a movie I'd never seen before. It was from 1997. I had no recollection of it. Toni Collette in the US.
Yeah.
With Parker Posey, Lisa Kudrow, and Alana Ubach. You remember her? She was in heaps of stuff, but the one that I remember was she was in the Brady Bunch movie, the original, and she was Marsha's friend but had a crush on Marsha.
Yeah. She was in everything.
Everything.
As the best friend. Yes. In everything. Yes. Yeah.
So these four are temps at a office.
Okay.
In the US.
Wait, what year did you say?
1997.
Okay.
And it's Toni Collette's first day, and she's kind of introduced to everything and everyone, and they become sort of friends as temps. Like they're not really considered part of the business, but they're still expected to do all this work and stuff. And they just watch the clock to see when it gets to 5 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
Nice. And then things start to go missing in the building.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah. Things start to go missing in the building. It's definitely a comedy.
Like what kind of stuff?
Oh, like your mug.
Oh, okay.
My scarf. You know, stuff like that.
Well, that's the stuff I'd be like just moving around if I was bored all day. I'd be like, it's going to take your precious stapler.
Well, they, in your bottom drawer. That, they are the ones that are not getting accused.
Okay.
But are getting sort of separated and divided.
Oh, so they're thought as the troublemakers.
They've got, at one point in time, they're made to not sit in cubicles but desks out in pub, like out in the middle. Separately, not facing each other, with cameras on them. And I just had this flashback to this workplace that I was at about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And she just kept putting like the camera behind me and this other guy. And she was saying that it was like, oh, it's for like when the cleaners come that she got rid of because she said they weren't cleaning anything. And I was like, why are the cameras behind me?
Especially like I can understand in retail when you're A, dealing
but with stock. But it's one of three people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like calm it down. So I felt really uncomfortable watching this, and this truth in my head came out of when one person does something to disrupt a really nice vibe in an office, it all just goes.
100%.
It just goes.
I think we've all been there with a toxic boss.
Yes.
Who they know they're not part of the fun, happy group, so they destroy it.
Really, really interesting because it just like I watched. I'm like, this is great. How did I not know about this movie? It's the 90s, nice vibes, and I'm like, but also like, oh my god, I'm getting PTSD from a crazy office environment. Really good. Watch it.
Yeah, I want to because I want to know what happens in the end.
Yeah, it's exactly what you think. It's very realistic.
Cool.
Yeah. What else did you watch?
I watched season 4 of The Lincoln Lawyer. Now, I know that like season 4 is a bit funny to recommend, but if you have been watching The Lincoln Lawyer, I really enjoyed this season.
Well worth it?
Yeah. So awesome. The Lincoln Lawyer is based on the books from Michael Connelly, and it's set in Los Angeles. Michael, they call him Mickey Holler, is a defense attorney, very, very, very successful. And the end of season 3, he was pulled over for a traffic stop and he was trying to sort of say, like, oh, come on, mate, like, just let me go. Like, this is ridiculous. Give me a ticket. I don't care. Like, just let me go. I've had a bad day. And the cop goes, hang on, is that blood coming out, dripping out of your boot? And he's like, what? Open up the boot. Mm-hmm. There's a dead body inside of one of his clients.
Oh,
that's where season 3 finished.
That's a good cliffhanger.
Good cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's really good.
Season 4 begins. He's in jail. And the entire season is about his defense. So suddenly now this, you know, hotshot defense lawyer is now in a way defending himself, but he's having to rely on the people that he has in his life to defend him. And it's really, really cool. It's got a storyline that I can genuinely say lasts the entire season because there's enough in there that things keep changing and you're like, oh, they've got him. They've totally got him. And then last little bit of it. Evidence
will come through. Okay.
What? Right. Like, this story is getting bigger and bigger. You know, great, great story. Another great cliffhanger at the very end of this season.
So definitely that you just go, out.
Well, I'm back. Like, I'm 100% back
to me, baby.
Absolutely. In like the last 5 minutes, totally hooked again. It's a fun series. It's not, I will say the lore is heavy in it, but it's not one of those heavy, kind of depressing Law and Order type shows.
It has a bit of a quirk, a bit of comedy to it,
lots of fun characters that you just genuinely enjoy.
Mm.
But if you were going to do it, you'd have to start at season 1. Don't start at season 4 because
you'll miss out on the cliffhanger.
And you'll not understand, like, why is it important that this person is doing this now?
Yeah, sure.
Are you guys... Like your friends, right?
Point.
It just won't make a lot of sense.
Okay. What was that on?
Netflix.
Netflix. Okay.
It's doing so well on Netflix.
We go round.
Yeah.
So I watched on HBO Max. It's Florida Man. And each episode is a real story in Florida of those weird, you know, those weird like, oh my God,
a Florida Man did
story.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's got the person who the story is about talking about it to camera, the real person, was also being recreated by actors.
Oh, my God, I love it.
And the actors are just so many different people in Hollywood. Like, the last one I watched was Haley Joel Osment, who went out because he and his friend wanted to go and find the equivalent of the Bigfoot in Florida in the marshes.
The equivalent?
Which is like Edie Patterson.
Can't be the Yeti.
exactly. Oh, my God. The people are weird. Like, even people like Edie Patterson, you know, the Aussie actress is in it.
Yeah.
You're going – every single episode, you're going to know who the people are that are acting.
Amazing. What a great idea.
The stories are wild, but some of them, because.
But they are wild.
They're wild.
Like,
they're wild.
Isn't there a thing like you could put any weird coincidence and then write Florida Man after it in Google? And it happens. And it's happened.
So you, if you Google right now, Florida mugshot thick neck.
Yeah.
There'll be a guy that you've seen before.
Yeah.
And they recreate him, but they have him recreate it himself now is wild.
So wait, hang on. I thought there was a rule or a law that you couldn't profit from your crimes. Does that mean that all of these guys have done this documentary voluntary?
They're not all crimes.
Okay, just but, dumb things.
But also I'm not sure where those lines are blurred because I reckon they have gotten paid and some are definitely crimes that they're talking about. One guy stole a steamboat that was a casino.
And they don't go very fast.
Everything went wrong.
Just slowly chugging along.
And he did it because he wanted to get money because his dogs had been impounded and he had to pay some fee or something.
That's what you would
do. That kind of story. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the easiest way to get my dogs.
If memory serves, the dogs weren't even there anymore. Like, his friend had bailed the dogs out and he just didn't know.
Are you killing yourself laughing watching it?
Yeah, it's hilarious. And like, so what they'll do is they'll have the real person say something like, and then I was like, I'm going to get my dogs. And then you'll have like Haley Joel Osment or like some actor going, I'm going to get my dogs. It's really funny. There's one about like this island or something, this weird little island in Florida and rabbits. That's a weird story in itself. Okay. And then to have it recreated. And this lady who over-medicates herself and just ends up in a stranger's house. Just stuff like that. It's really, really good. HBO
What's
Max.
What's going on in Florida?
I don't know.
I mean, lots of people like to move
there. They like to move there. You know what I think?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this show or the Golden Girls isn't a I don't think they're real proper representations of Florida. I think it's somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. Interesting.
Don't you reckon? Okay, have we talked about two things
each?
Yeah,
we have.
We're going to do this quiz then.
What is it about again? Did you tell me?
I didn't tell you.
It's about Florida men.
It's not. It's about what year did these John Travolta movies come out? So you're going to be an absolute expert. It's not really random because he was in Face Off and we spoke about it and I even mentioned the year Face Off.
Yeah, you probably did, but you've mentioned the year about a lot of things today.
Pulp Fiction.
Yes, he was. 98.
Ooh, lower.
95.
4.
Okay.
Earlier than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was about 5 or 6. Night Fever.
77.
Yes.
Yes.
Face Off.
Oh,
you knew I was going to put it in there.
Yeah, I knew you were going to. Now, you said the Toni Collette was 1997, so I have to, like, dig through my brain to 1997.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I think I should get 97 points for that one.
Yes, I like that. I like that. Battlefield Earth.
Which I don't
was like
know
his,
this.
No, I'm going to explain it to you. It was his science fiction movie that he was sort of made. He made it. And it was based off like a book that Ron E. Hubbard, Scientology guru, made.
Oh, because he's a Scientologist.
Yeah, and he made it and nobody watched it.
Well,
Well, maybe Scientologist. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have no idea.
That makes you like.
Oh, maybe. So you'll be a little bit scared. Like walk
straight away into the building.
And give them money. Yeah. I'm not sure. What year do you think that happened?
I've got no money. They'd be like, turn around and walk back out.
Turn around.
he made that in 03.
Not bad, though. The year 2000.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hairspray.
I love hairspray. I have no idea when that was brought out. 2011?
2007. It was earlier.
Yeah.
And this is the one I'm sure you're going to get correct.
Okay.
Greece.
No, I'm not going to get this one right.
Really?
No, because I love it and I've never thought about.
Oh, okay.
It was made in the 80s, 70s, 79.
Eight.
I was going to say that and then I was like.
And then you didn't. Yeah. Therefore.
I am a loser.
Got that bit wrong. But you already got 97 points.
So I'm already up.
Well done. Congratulations to you, to me, to Toni Collette. Who else should we congratulate?
John.
John.
And Nick.
Yes.
John and Nick.
I think so.
Yeah. In the hope that someone writes a script where they can get their faces back.
What if they don't want the faces back?
Well, they clearly don't because they went and bought new ones.
They're fine. Yeah, that's true. They're absolutely fine. Stephanie, on that note, thank you very much.
You're welcome.